Good morning, everyone. Great to see your faces, and I appreciate your prayers last week because I wasn't feeling so great. Actually, I was fine. I just wanted to see how Bobby would do if I don't tell him that. I did toy with the idea of texting him at 8 o'clock this morning. You'll never believe this, but I didn't do it. You know, I'm growing up. I'm maturing. But no, he did a great job, didn't he? Stepping in and doing it. Yep, absolutely. So great to be part of a team here at Davisville. I value that really highly, and I'm privileged to serve with the people that I serve with. Well, we recently did a book, if you've been around for a little while, a series in the book of Ephesians, maybe you remember this, on what it means to be the church. We focused a lot on living out our new identity as Christ followers and how we treat each other. Those are two of the main themes that we talked about as we went through the book. And it matters. It matters how we treat one another as followers of Jesus, because it's better for the church when we treat one another the way God calls us to, but also because it shows the world that Jesus is who he said he is and can really transform people. Jesus himself said it's by our love for one another that the world will know that the Father sent him. But being the church is more than just how we treat each other as followers of Jesus. It's also about a responsibility to those who don't yet know Jesus, and that's part of what it means to be a follower. So today we're starting a series called Bless, and we're going to look at how to bless those around us, especially those who don't yet know Christ. Our desire is that they might have a relationship with him too. In the course of the series, we're going to be using some material from a book by the same title, Bless. It's written by Dave and John Ferguson. I encourage you to check it out. You don't have to, but I encourage you to check it out. There are some copies in the Resource Center if you'd like to get one there or order your own and read through it. I know a number of our life group leaders have copies, and if you're in a life group, your group may be discussing some of the discussion questions as a result of this series, but it's just a great tool to help us in the process of this journey that we're going to be on. The church is not meant to be a closed social club, right? We understand this. The church was never designed for that. God's heart for the church is that it would be a place that is open for anyone. It's a place where when Jesus said he would build his church, his desire is that he would be continually adding to the number. If you think about that concept of building, I always think about Legos when I think about building, right? My kids were into Legos. I was into Legos when I was a kid. And if you think about sitting with a box of Legos and you're building something, I mean, just picture sitting there, you've got the Legos and you've got the instructions and you're just not building. That's kind of the whole point of Legos, is that you put them together. You take a piece and you add it to whatever you're creating. And in like manner, Jesus is continually adding people to the construction that he's making, this spiritual building that he's creating. That's his heart. His heart would never be that we just have a box of pieces and they're not being added in some creative way. That's God's heart for the church. And when he said he would build his church, he meant it. He wanted to be a growing family where anyone is welcome. Well, when Jesus was leaving this earth after his death and resurrection, he told his followers to make disciples, to help other people follow Jesus. And we cannot leave out this key marker of a follower of Christ. We are to influence others. That's our mission statement as a church, influencing people to fully follow Jesus. We believe Jesus meant what he said, and our desire is to do that for others, even as we're seeking to follow him ourselves. I'll say it even more strongly. We are not truly following Jesus fully unless we are intentionally seeking to share him with those around us, especially those we interact with regularly. Now, for many of us, that is not a surprise. When I say something like that, it's not a new message. If you've been around church for a while, you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, that's probably not a surprise. And maybe when I say a statement like that, it induces a form of guilt. There's something I know I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. And I am not here to induce guilt in you this morning. That's not my goal. My goal is that together we would move forward into what God calls us to, because I believe it's a grand adventure that he calls us to, not a dry duty or obligation. And so I'm excited for us to kick off this series and to do this morning. When we realize that this is not a surprise, this call to help others follow Jesus, we recognize what others in our country who are followers of Jesus recognize. In a Barna Research Group study done in 2019, they found that when practicing Christians were presented with the statement, "Part of my faith means being a witness for Jesus," 96% strongly agreed or somewhat agreed. So there was general agreement almost across the board. Part of my faith is being a witness for Jesus. Again, we understand this. And after all, we would think that knowing the one who is the creator, the sustainer, who holds the keys to death and Hades, all the things that we discovered in our series we just did about Jesus, and then is also one who is willing to die for us because he loves us so much. Nothing is more important than that relationship. We probably understand and hold on to that. But let's be honest, for most of us, this is one of the most challenging parts of following Jesus. We know we should, but we don't. Well, why not? Why not? Another thing they found is that when they asked Christians, the best, if they agree with this statement, the best thing that could ever happen to someone for them is to come to know Jesus. Again, 96% agreed. We think we know this is a good idea, but we're not generally doing it. Now, there's many reasons. Maybe we don't know how. Maybe we're afraid of doing it wrong. It's uncomfortable at times for us to share our faith. We're convinced ourselves that they won't want to hear about faith from us. That's a topic we just shouldn't talk about. Maybe it's deeper. Maybe if we're honest with ourselves and we really take a look in the mirror, I'm just more concerned with my own life than the eternal destiny of other people. Maybe it's a matter of my heart, that God hasn't broken my heart for people who don't know Jesus. And I need that to happen in order to be involved in what it is he wants me to do. But here's some good news. According to Gallup, 87% of Americans say they believe in God. It's almost 9 out of 10. If you think about 10 people around you, pretty much 9 of them have some form of belief in God. Now, that doesn't mean they have a relationship with Jesus, but there at least is a common starting point. And here's some more good news. 26% of people who are not followers of Jesus, listen to this, would say that they are curious about Christianity and what it could mean for their lives. So a quarter of the people out there are curious about Christianity. They would like to know more. For those in their 20s and 30s, that number jumps to 36%. There's a thirst, a hunger among our young adults to want to know about this, at least for about a third of them. They'd be open to knowing more. This is great news. When we think about a quarter to a third of people around us, at least open to learning more about Jesus and the Christian faith. And here's the kicker. 79% of unchurched people agreed with the following statement. I don't mind talking to a friend about their faith if they really value it. Almost 8 out of 10 people are willing to say, I don't know Jesus, but I'm willing to talk about faith with a friend as long as I know it's important to them. I don't really want to hear it from someone who they say it's important, but when you look at their life, it doesn't seem to make any impact. But if it's really important to you, if it's something you value and we have a friendship, and notice that word friend. They're willing to talk with a friend about it. Someone with whom they have a relationship, someone who cares about them, someone that they trust. You know, one of Jesus' nicknames is that he was a friend of sinners. Now, when he was given that nickname, it wasn't meant to be a positive thing. He got the nickname, most likely from what we know, in Matthew chapter 9, where he calls Matthew to be his follower. And after Matthew agrees and leaves his tax collector booth and goes to follow Jesus, Jesus goes over to Matthew's house for dinner. And it says that he ate with Matthew and Matthew's friends, which were sinners and tax collectors. And the religious leaders come around and say, why are you doing this? Why are you hanging out with these people? Why are you a friend of sinners and tax collectors? Because those were the people that Jesus knew needed to know the most that God loved them, that God wanted a relationship with them, and he wasn't afraid to hang out with people. Are you willing to be that friend? Are you willing to be used by God to bless someone else, to influence them to know and follow Jesus? Let me ask you again, are you willing? Are you willing? It's such an important question for us to wrestle with. Everything we're going to do in this series is going to hinge on this question. Are we willing to step into this? And at the end of our time together, I'm going to challenge you to go before God and ask him to help you be willing if you're struggling with that. Are you willing to step into this journey that God calls all of us to as followers of Jesus? And sometimes we imagine this scene in heaven, right? And if you're there because of your faith in Jesus and what he did for you, then you know that you will be in heaven for eternity. And you kind of have this picture of someone walking up to you and saying, you know, thank you so much for sharing Jesus with me. God used you to bring me here. Now, ultimately, it's God who did the work, but he uses us in that partnership. Wouldn't that be a great thing to experience? And maybe when I say things like that, it feels like a lot of pressure. Now you're feeling like, man, I don't want to think that somebody's not going to be in heaven because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Let me take that pressure off this morning, because I'm not trying to say if you don't share Jesus with somebody, they're not going to go to heaven. God is capable to make the message known any way he wants, any time he wants. He is not limited by our obedience or disobedience, but he invites us to be a part of what it is that he wants us to do. I don't think Jesus wants us to feel guilty. He doesn't want you to share about him like we are often, we perceive a used car salesman, and if you do that, I'm sorry, but that's often our perception. Someone just trying to close the deal so they can move on to the next one, right? And I know that's not always the case, but that's the stereotype. Remember, what the people around us who don't know Jesus need is a friend. And we can do that, right? We can be friends to people. So to take some of the pressure off that maybe you're feeling this morning, or maybe a little bit of discomfort, and discomfort isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes God uses that to move us to action. But I want to take a few minutes to clear up our role and God's role in bringing somebody into a relationship with Jesus. Today we're going to talk about God's role. Next week we'll focus a little bit more on our role and what it is that God has for us to do. So what is God's role in someone coming into a relationship with Jesus? I think it's really important for us to understand this. Now remember, Jesus said, "I will build my church." He didn't say, "You will build my church." He said, "I will build my church." Jesus accepts the responsibility of building his own church. He is doing it. And ultimately, nothing can stop it. Not the enemy's efforts, not human arguments, not even our own sin. Nothing can stop Jesus from building his church. Now, I'll come back around to that, because I think how we live our lives can impact our effective witness. We'll get there in our role. But I want us to understand that from God's perspective, Jesus is going to accomplish what he said he will accomplish. Nothing is going to stop him. In John chapter 6, Jesus said these words. He says, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Notice the progression here. All the Father gives me will come to me. It's going to happen. And whoever comes, I will accept them and give them eternal life. This process starts with God. Yes, we need to believe. We need to place our faith and trust in Jesus. Absolutely. But the process starts with God, and God finishes it by promising that anyone who places their faith in Christ, as the Father draws them, will experience eternal life. Now, it's very comforting to me. It's one of the reasons why I believe in the idea that once you become a follower of Jesus, once you're part of God's family, you're in. And nothing can take you back out. A few verses later, Jesus goes a step further. In verse 44, he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." Again, notice the progression. The Father draws, people come to Jesus, Jesus gives them eternal life. And people won't come unless the Father draws them. Now, I know this raises even bigger questions in your mind. And some of you already are struggling with the whole idea of, you know, God's sovereignty and our responsibility, and how do those two things work together. And I am not going to solve all those questions this morning. But I want you to see from Jesus' own words that from Jesus' perspective, when he said, "I will build my church," he and his Father and the Spirit, the Trinity working together, are going to accomplish this. But there is an invite for us to be a part of it. But let's just take Jesus' words at face value. What this means is, if you are a follower of Jesus, God did something in you to draw you to that belief. You still had to believe, but God brought you there. Why is that necessary? Why does it have to happen? Because we can't properly evaluate the gospel on our own, according to what the scriptures teach. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "The person without the Spirit," so if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been given the Spirit to indwell you, to live inside you, to empower you to live the life that God has called you to live. So the person without the Spirit means the person who's not a follower of Jesus does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. This phrase, cannot understand, is the connotation of cannot properly evaluate. You see, it's not that people who don't know Jesus can't mentally understand the gospel. Of course they can. If you explain the fact that there was a person named Jesus who lived and he died and he rose again, we can understand that intellectually. But without the help of the Spirit, we cannot properly evaluate that message. For them to see it for what it is, the truth by which we have eternal life, that takes the work of the Spirit to reveal that to us. Now, why can't we see it on our own? Paul outlines one reason in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4. He says, the God of this age, the enemy, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, of those who don't know Jesus, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is work that the enemy does to keep people from believing. He seeks to blind their eyes, to not allow them to properly evaluate the truth of the gospel. When Jesus told a parable about throwing seed on the ground and there was birds that came and snatched the seed and took it away, it symbolized the enemy keeping people from believing. Now again, that's all underneath the sovereignty. God is not limited by that. He can work through that. But there is an enemy that seeks to keep people from Jesus, who wants to keep them literally in the dark spiritually. Again, it's not that they can't hear it or read about it or understand it intellectually, but they can't see it for what it is. They can't see it for truth, life-changing, life-transforming truth. And that's why we need God's help. And that's exactly what Jesus promised when he was preparing his disciples for his departure. He said that another would come, one just like him. And he had several names for this one who would come. One is the Spirit of Truth. Oh, so this is one who will reveal truth to us. Yes, because you need to be able to know that this is really truth. He'll help you to see that. His other name is the Helper or the Comforter or the Advocate, the one who comes alongside to help. Well, what is part of what he helps us to do? He helps us to see the truth for what it is. And the Holy Spirit, that's who it is, the third member of the Godhead. Now, the Holy Spirit does many things in the life of someone who is a follower of Jesus. He places them into God's family, as I'd already said. He gives them gifts. He serves as a seal guaranteeing our place in heaven. The Holy Spirit has many roles in the life of a follower of Jesus. But listen to what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do in the lives of who don't yet know him. So we know the Spirit is active in the lives of followers of Jesus, but what is the Holy Spirit doing in the heart and mind of those who don't yet know Jesus? Well, Jesus himself answers this question in John chapter 16, and he says, when he comes, and when he says he means the Holy Spirit, this helper, this teacher, this Spirit of Truth, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Now, when he says prove the world to be in the wrong, some translations of your Bible may say convict the world. It's really the same idea. Again, show them that this is true. Demonstrate clearly to them. Open their spiritual eyes that they'll be able to recognize this as truth. And I find this so interesting because sometimes we take it on ourselves to think that we've got to prove people wrong. That when we interact with people who don't yet know Jesus, we've got to come up with some intellectual argument or something to let them know that whatever they're believing that is not in line with what Scripture teaches or what God would have them believe and is wrong, we've got to convince them of that. We have a role. We'll see that again next week. But ultimately, it's the Spirit who's going to convict them of what the truth is. And if they're in the wrong, it'll be the Spirit who will convict them of that. And we can trust the Spirit to do his work. The Spirit will open their spiritual eyes to these truths that we have all broken the standard. He will convict them of sin, that there is a thing called sin, an offense against God. It's a real thing, and we've all participated in it. The Spirit will convict them, and that only Jesus perfectly fulfilled that standard. Righteousness, that righteousness is only found in Jesus. He was the only righteous one who ever lived, and because of that, he could give his righteousness to us through his death on the cross. That's part of what the Spirit will convict people of. And that there is a judgment, that there is a day of accountability, that there are consequences for breaking God's standard if we don't have Jesus' righteousness applied to us. There's a judgment coming. There is a day of accountability that all of us will have to face. But as believers in Jesus, we get his righteousness credited to our account, and we don't have to be worried about that judgment. That's good news. That's good news. And that's part of the news that we get to share, and the Spirit convicts people that this is true. It's true. These are all things that are necessary for someone to trust Jesus as their Savior, and these things are all revealed to be true to a person by the Holy Spirit. So God plays a huge role in bringing people into a relationship with Jesus. And maybe you've heard it said this way, maybe one of the simplest ways to say it: we cannot save anyone. We do not have the capability of saving other people spiritually. We have the capability and the invitation to introduce people to a Savior. He is the only one who can do that work. And the Spirit is the only one who can bring them to the point of understanding their need and accepting Christ. The Spirit convicts us that we are guilty and that there is a judgment, a day of accountability coming. The Spirit opens our eyes to the truth of the gospel, that Jesus was the perfect Son of God who laid down his life in our place and then rose again to demonstrate his victory over sin and death, that his promise to give us eternal life is good. Now you may be thinking at this point, wow, you know, if this is God's role, if God does all of this, and maybe some of this is new to you, then what's left for me? Like, if this is what he's doing, he's convicting people, he's got to open their eyes to the truth, there's all these things that God does, what is my role in this? What is it that God has? And God does have a role for us. Maybe you're even thinking, he doesn't need me. And you're right, he doesn't need you. He doesn't need us to build his church, but he invites us into that process. In fact, he says, if you're going to be my follower, this is a part of what following looks like. You're going to be used by me to introduce other people to Jesus. He wants us to partner with him by being a friend, someone who cares about people enough to want to introduce them to Jesus. Now, we'll unpack our role more next week. We'll lay out some very simple and natural practices over the next 5 weeks to help us on our journey, to fulfill what God has called us to do, of seeking to be friends who influence others to follow Jesus. But for right now, I want to introduce you to the first practice of our acronym, and BLESS is an acronym, so each week we'll go through one of the letters and talk about the action oriented with that. And so this week we're going to talk about begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. The B stands for begin with prayer. And we're going to start by praying intentionally. Intentionally. I'm going to invite you this morning to begin praying intentionally by name for people who do not yet know Jesus. Because I believe this is a very important first step for us. As we recognize what God's role is, our first thing we need to do is, God, would you do what only you can do? I'm going to come to you on behalf of these people, and I want to ask you to reveal to them that your gospel is true. Convict them of their sin and of their need for you, like we all have this need for you because we all have sin in our lives. I'm going to ask you to do, God, what only you can do. I'm going to pray for people by name. And so what I want to encourage you to do right now is take out that sheet of paper that you got when you came in. If you're online, obviously you didn't get a sheet of paper when you came in, but you can just kind of follow along if you want to write some of this down on a piece of paper. It is available on the hub. You can go on there and look under the BLESS card, and you'll find this tool there if you want to do that later, or even if you're here this morning and you want to go and get one of these later, it's available there for you. But this is just something to help us to work through some of these things. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to ask you to actually fill something on this out. So get a pen or pencil if you can. Get ready at home. Maybe get a piece of paper and a pencil just to start you off here. And I think this will be a good step for us to take. So hold on to that for a minute. Sometimes when you read one of the Gospels, if you ever spent time reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I want to encourage you, if you do it again, take note of how many times someone brought someone else to Jesus. Take note of how many times someone brought someone else to Jesus. And you'll find that it's often for healing, sometimes just to meet him. But many were introduced to Jesus by their friends. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd met Jesus themselves. And they wanted someone else. And so they made a point of bringing someone else to meet this Jesus, to experience what only Jesus could do. Now, we can't physically introduce our friends to Jesus in the sense of his physical presence right now. But through prayer, we can take our friends to him. Through prayer, we can take our friends, those people that by name we're praying for, and we can take them to him and say, Jesus, would you do in their lives what only you can do? We can ask God to provide healing in their lives, to provide for them in whatever way they may need, to open their eyes to his truth and his love for them. After all, there's so much we need God to do in this process, so much we cannot do. So let's ask him to do those things for people, people that we know, people that need Jesus just like we do, whether they know it or not. Let's begin with prayer. Now, before we get to filling out this, and I'm going to give you a couple minutes to work on some things and have some time to talk with God, I want to end with a confession and a story this morning. Earlier in this message, I talked about reasons why we don't share Jesus with others. This has been a regular struggle for me. How's that? Your lead pastor stands up and tells you that this has been a regular struggle in his life. And I'm not sure of all the reasons why, but sometimes I don't want to go deep enough to know because I'm not really excited about what I might find there. Because I suspect that sometimes it's just I'm fine to live my comfortable life and do my thing, and everybody else is doing their thing, and that's good, right? Then I question, do I care? Like, do I care that people around me, their eternal destiny may be that they might be separated from God? If I really believe what the scriptures teach, and as I look at people in the eyes, and I get to know their name, and I live near them, or you know, go to their businesses on a regular basis, and I interact with them, and I'm friendly, and they're friendly to me, and you know, we have the beginnings of what might be called a friendship, or a deeper friendship, at some point, if I care about them, isn't it a natural question to ask? Wouldn't you want them to know Jesus? If I really believe that Jesus is what we just talked about for 4 weeks about who Jesus is, wouldn't I want them to know him too? And so I want to grow through this series with you. And I'm excited. I'm in. I want to be a part of this. And I'm asking God to use me and work in my heart. And this is part of why I want us to begin with prayer. It's not just that we pray for God to do something in them, but we pray for God to do something in us. Part of this prayer is, yes, God, would you open their eyes to the gospel? But God, would you break my heart and open my heart to what you want to do in their lives and how you might want me to be involved, and give me the courage and the love to step up and be willing to do it. Not out of guilt or obligation, but simply out of love for you and love for them. Because that truly is what is best for people, that they would know this Jesus. I'm willing. I'm asking you to be too. Because that kind of love for people that God can place in our hearts and build in us as we begin to pray for people by name, it prompts us to action. As you commit to pray for people and your love for them begins to grow, you may just hear or sense a whisper from God telling you the next step. And that's what I'm praying for over these next 5 weeks, that we would be hearing whispers from God and we would be taking action on the things that he brings to our attention. For some of us, it may be quickly. For some of us, it may take a lot longer than 5 weeks. I don't know what the timetable would be, but when God whispers, this is what I want you to do, I want us to be willing to do it. Because it's exciting to follow up on the whispers that God gives us. I want to tell you one story, actually, from this book. And the authors tell a story that involves their friend Dean, and I want to share it with you as an encouragement as we close this morning. Dean works in a college ministry at a university and has made it a practice over the years to begin every day asking God to help him meet and talk to people who he wants him to bless. And then he just goes through his day, assuming that whoever he talks to might be that divine appointment. One day when someone canceled an appointment with him, Dean decided that instead of filling the time with emails or an Instagram post, he would pray. And as he sat listening for God, and again, this is going to be a part of what we talk about, not just our praying, lifting these people to the Lord, but then taking time to listen for for those whispers, those impressions that God may place in our minds. And as he sat listening for God, the name of a student, Janice, came to him. He sensed that he was supposed to talk to her about Jesus. Janice had never been to church and was not a Christ follower, but she had been to a college small group a couple times. So he called Janice and asked her to connect over coffee. She agreed, and when they met, Dean just told her, "I was praying and your name came to mind, and I felt like I was supposed to share with you how you can become a follower of Jesus." That's quite a bold opening statement. Janice, as you might imagine, sat there in silence. First came a tear, and then she began to sob. Dean immediately felt bad, this is exactly how I would have responded, and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have just blurted that out. Did I say something that offended you?" "No, not at all," she said. "I just can't believe you said that. Last night I decided to go to a Bible study in my dorm. They were talking about what it means to be a Christian, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. All night I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what to do about it. So I prayed this morning, asking God to bring someone to me today to tell me how to become a Christian." Janice smiled and said, "And here you are. I just can't believe it." See, Dean had developed this practice of praying for God's direction, then listening to his leading, and then acting on it. And God did some amazing things. And I think, why couldn't this be me? Why couldn't this be you? Why couldn't it be that we, through developing a habit of praying for people and listening to God and telling God, "I want to be obedient to whatever you call me to. I want you to develop a love for people that I may or may not have right now. Take me deeper in that love. And when you whisper, I'm willing, I will step into whatever it is you're calling me to." Because sometimes we say that, and then when God tells us, we're like, "Oh, I'm not so sure I want to do that." Right? But who of us wouldn't want a story like this? And I'm not promising stories like this. That's not what I'm doing. But I don't believe this is meant to be unique. I don't believe this is just meant to be for a very small group of Christ followers. I think Jesus intends this for all of us who follow Jesus. If we would just take him seriously. That he is about bringing people into relationship with himself. And he wants to use us to be a part of that process. And for that to happen, it begins with prayer. It begins with prayer. And so I want to invite you into a time of prayer right now. I'll close this time in prayer, and this is what I want you to do as the team comes up to prepare for our last song. I want you to take those sheets that you were handed or a piece of paper at home, whatever you've got. Don't write anything on it immediately. I want you to first just spend some time talking to God. And I want you to wrestle with this question: are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to be used by him to reach people who don't know Jesus, to introduce them to this Jesus who I hope means so much to you, is the one who rescued you from eternity separated from God, who died on a cross to pay for your sin, to offer you forgiveness and restoration and a new life and his spirit living inside you? That's what Jesus did for us, for you. And yet that love was not meant to be contained. It's meant to be expressed. And it's meant to be expressed by those who've experienced that kind of relationship. So begin with a time of you praying, "God, I want to wrestle with this question, am I willing?" And if you're not, would you ask him to make you willing? Would you be bold enough just to do that? "God, you know my heart. You know I'm struggling with this. You know this is out of my comfort zone," whatever the case may be. But would you just make me willing? And all I'm asking you today is to begin by praying for people. That's all I'm asking. I don't think that's too much as we ease into this. Something we all can do. And let's see what God does. Let me pray for us as we get started in this exercise. Father, in great love, you reached down to us through your son, Jesus, and you made a way, the only way, for us to have a relationship with you. There is no way that we can come to on our own. There is no way that we can figure out in our own intelligence. There is no way that we can achieve through our own efforts. The way to a relationship with you is simply depending upon Jesus and what he did for us, expressing faith and trust in who you are, Jesus. And I know many of us who are hearing this or gathered today or watching online have come to that point in our lives where we've expressed faith in Jesus and we would consider ourselves, we're Jesus followers. And a part of that is that you call us to be a part of building your church. You're building it, Jesus. We're bricks in the building. But there's more bricks you want to add. There's more people around us that you want to have a relationship with you, and you're inviting us to be a part of that process. And the question just that we all have to face is, am I willing? Am I willing? Jesus, would you make us willing? Where we struggle with insecurity or doubt or lack of care or schedule or whatever our excuses or reasons would be, I pray that you would break through those. That you would draw us to a place where we just are willing to be used by you. We're not going to try to do this in our own strength. We're going to do this in dependence upon you, believing already that you are working in people's hearts to draw them to yourself, and believing that you want to use us as part of the process. So help us to be willing. And as we take this time now to reflect individually with you, and maybe begin to write some names down that you lay on our hearts. Maybe they're physical neighbors who live around us. Maybe they're people who we work with, people that we do social activities with, or family, friends, whoever it might be. As we begin to put real names down on a piece of paper, I pray that you would motivate us to pray for them this week, every single day. That we would just take time to pray for them by name, and that we would just then take a few minutes just to be quiet and listen for whatever you might lay on our heart. And I pray that this will be the beginning of an exciting journey for us. That there, from a human perspective, will be people one day in heaven, because you moved us to pray and to act as you have called us to do. I pray this in your name. Amen. Take a few minutes. Just spend some time in prayer. Write a few names on the paper. If you have some that come to your mind, are you willing? Let's step into this. We need him. This is not something we can do in our own strength and our own power, but with him, this can be done, and it can be really, really exciting. Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom once said, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer." As we pray for others, let's expect that God will have us get involved in what he wants to do in their lives. May people know Jesus, because something started today. That God's doing something in us to continue to have us follow him in introducing others to his son. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday.